the beloved, and the fact that we are these few principles that relate to being life as the beloved. Number one, that we are deeply, deeply loved by God. And, you know, we have been referring to Ephesians 1, a passage there, and I can't remember the exact title or home for it right now, but it's the fact that God would enlighten the eyes of our heart so that we would see the riches of our inheritance in Christ, the hope that we have in Christ, and the power that is ours in Christ. And how all that God has given to us in Christ. And Ephesians 3:16-21, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp. What do we need power to grasp? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ? And to know that this love, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. There's the problem, is we cannot begin to academically understand how much God loves us, that it takes the power of God enabling us to understand how much God loves us. And we think that because we have an academic idea that God, creator, universe, holy, died on the cross. Woohoo! We don't begin to comprehend those three phrases and what that meant. And that's where it takes the power of God to enlighten the eyes of our heart to understand this truth that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How much of God dwells in you? All of God. We don't get that again. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you. His power is already at work in you. That's the point. You see, we don't comprehend how much he loves us. We don't comprehend the amount of power that is of God that is already at work in us. And all this happens because of how much he loves us, that we are deeply, deeply, deeply loved by God. So much that he loved the world, that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Number two, that we are taken, or that we belong to somebody, that my heart belongs to somebody else and his belongs to me. Number three, that we are blessed by God. That God desires to have our hearts overflowing. That's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about it. You know, he says that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That we are blessed. And he's not talking about circumstances. He's talking about our relationship with him, and that out of that we need to be viewing circumstances. Not viewing God in light of our circumstances, which we often do. I have a bad situation. God is supposed to love me, therefore he must not be a good God. Right? We're viewing God in light of our circumstance instead of viewing our circumstance in light of God. It's what are we looking at? We are blessed. We are broken. We are broken people and we live in a broken world. All of creation has been subject to disorder. All the people as they came in this morning and they were listing off all their ails to me. The sicknesses, the flus, the sore backs, that's all part of the disorder of sin. That's all part of living in this world. And the Apostle Paul was broken like the rest of us. And he said, and when he looked at all those things that were broken in him, considering all the abuse that he had endured for the gospel, he said, you know, therefore I will glory in my infirmities, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because I have to be trusting him. Do we glory in our infirmities? So you see, now I'm looking at my circumstances in light of my God. And that he's given me hard times so that I can trust him more, and a greater reason for joy. And to recognize we are blessed people. And today we want to talk about the fact that we are given, and that in that brokenness, when we surrender our brokenness and put it under the blessing of God, he calls us to be given to our world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all men. And so we want to talk about that. And so number one, we want to talk about Jesus as walking as the beloved of God, that Jesus at his baptism, the Trinity was present there. We saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and then the Father spoke. And what does he say? That he loved him and that he was well pleased with him. God, and we don't doubt that, do we? We don't doubt that the Father loved the Son. We have no issues with that. And then in John 17, we come back to this again. He tells us that Jesus tells us that he has given us the glory, that Jesus has given us the glory that the Father had given to him. You really need to take a look at John 17 sometime and just work through that relationship between the Father and the Son, and see that the relationship between the Father and the Son is the exact same relationship between that's our relationship with the Father. And so in the same way that he loved the Son, he loves us. In verse 23, the very next verse, that we are loved by God even as he loved Jesus. And so Jesus says in Matthew 28, in verse 28, he says, I come to be served. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So he came to give. He was blessed in his relationship with the Father, and it's out of that. And he says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He viewed his circumstances in light of his relationship and what was going to happen to us. In light of that, he says, I will endure the cross. And that joy of seeing us in relationship with him was all he needed to go through the pain of the cross. Colossians 3:3 tells us that we are hidden in Christ. In other words, that when God looks at us, what does he see? The perfection of Jesus. Do you doubt that God loves you? He loves you in exactly the same way he loved Jesus when he was here on earth. See, the whole point of it is that, you know, people struggle with this. And I know they do. Because they're listening to the wrong voices, right? Because you got this other guy, the liar, deceiver, destroyer, that guy. And what's he telling you? You're a lousy Christian. God could never love you. What a failure. You will never live up to anything that God wants you to be. You will never be able to accomplish anything of value for God. That's what he will tell you. But God is looking at you as his child, and he says, I love you, and my desire is to empower you to serve me by putting your confidence in me, by putting your hope and your faith and your trust in me, then you are empowered to go and to serve. According to the abilities that I have given you to do the tasks that I have custom made for you to do. Ephesians 2:10, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. Custom made. Whether you want to say that we're custom made to the task or the tasks are custom made for us, either way. That when we do what God has called us to do and we are the person that God wants us to be, we are not trying to be the person that the world wants you to be or what you think the world wants you to be or what your group of friends at school think you should be. When we are trying to be what God wants us to be, you will be joyful. When you are trying to be what people around here are trying to tell you that you need to be, and media is telling you what you need to be, you will be frustrated. And you will be disappointed because you will never be able to live to that because that is not who you are. Women in particular. There is so much garbage out there for women these days. And you just need to be the woman that God wants you to be. And find God as your source of joy and hope and peace. And in marriage, it is when two people are fulfilled in their relationship with Christ that they are then free to give and to serve their partner. If you are looking to your partner to make you happy, guess what? You're going to be unhappy. But when you are free and you are complete in Christ, he gives you freedom to serve without them responding back. And when you have two people who are unreservedly serving the other, guess what? It gets pretty good. In all your relationships, friendships, work relationships, it's being the person that God wants us to be that sets us free to serve as he would have us to be. And this all brings us back to this passage in Ephesians 3:19 again. And so I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power in your inner being so that, in other words, you need the power of God to be working in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. It starts with the power of God working in us to make us alive and to do a spiritual resurrection that we talk about, that he talks about in Ephesians 1. Where he talks about this power and that power is the same as the power that was used in the resurrection of Christ. And then he goes on into chapter 2. And you who are dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, the resurrection of Christ and our spiritual resurrection to be from spiritually dead to be made spiritually alive requires the power of God to happen. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Again, we need the power of God to understand that. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What do you need to imagine that God can do in you and through you by his power? You think about that? I can't do anything for God. What can you imagine God doing through you for his glory? He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to what? His power. That is what? That is at work within us. You know, So that power in the beginning, the first one there, yeah, it's already at work within you. And the second one, that you may have the power to understand and grasp how deep the love of God is, that's already at work within you. In other words, this is not something that you have to attain. It's already at work within you. But are we taking the time to let the Spirit of God do the work in us so that we can walk as the beloved of God and comprehend how much He loves us, that we may serve, that we may be given in service to a world who desperately needs us? We have been empowered by God to serve God. We are the beloved. We are blessed. We submit our brokenness to the blessing, and we are filled with joy and empowered to be given to serve a world hungry for love, lacking in purpose for our existence, and a world of self-centered emptiness. No wonder there's so many people committing suicide. It's so sad. It's all this right here. A, they don't know that God loves them. And B, they're trying to look for their purpose outside of God. And they find a world that's empty, and it's all about tearing them down and just using them. And God says, I love you, and I have a marvelous purpose for your life that's custom made to you. And so as the beloved of God, we have the answer. We are given to serve our world the blessing of being the beloved of God. You know the old four spiritual laws? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It's kind of a bad place to start when you're talking to people who don't know Jesus, because they have no comprehension of the love of God for them. But you know, for a lot of people, to know that God loves them, they've probably never heard that before. And that we need to be displaying the character of God, the character of Christ, to those around so they can see that in our brokenness, we are full of joy. We are given, that we don't have to be perfect. We can be broken people with this great message of joy and hope and peace. It's the Christmas message, right? Good news of great joy for all people. You know? On whom His favor rests. Yeah. All right. I just did something to my computer here. There it is. Okay. All right. So Acts 2. The apostles were empowered by the Spirit of God to serve. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 tells us that we were sealed and that we have the Holy Spirit in us when we make that decision to believe and to be a follower. In other words, you are equipped in the same way the apostles were equipped. The disciples were given to sharing the blessing in Acts 3 and 4. They would go and they just had to share this good news. And they were empowered to serve. And the religious leaders and the political leaders got all upset, and so they arrested them and they dragged them in and they threatened them and they said, don't you talk about Jesus anymore. You're making us look bad. Well, we just have to obey God rather than men. Next chapter. Dragged them back in again. Because why? They were out there just telling the good news. What'd they do this time? Beat them. And then sent them away. And what'd they do? Went away rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. What are they doing? They're looking at their circumstances in light of their great God. Wow. They must see God in us that they would think that they need to beat us. It's how we look at life. That's what this is all about. So that as they were serving out of their brokenness and out of their blessings, Their blessings overwhelmed their beatings. And so they went back to the church and they tell the church that we need to pray. And so what do? They pray. And they just talk about this great God that they're serving for the whole prayer. And then they come down to the end about his power and his majesty and his awesomeness and that he's the creator and that he loves them. And then at the end it's, oh yeah, God, by the way, behold their threatenings. Because you are such a great God and we just love you and how you're going to take care of us. And that was it. That's how much time they spent focusing on the fact that they were being threatened to be beaten again. Oh yeah, by the way, they said a few nasty things. You could take care of that. Right? Ephesians 2, we've been made alive by the power of God to do the good works which he created for us to do. That's what Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 is all about. That we were spiritually dead, that we were raised and made alive, and that by grace we have been saved through faith, not by works which we have done, but by his love, through faith in him alone. And we've been created to do good works which he's prepared in advance for us to spend the rest of our lives doing. That's what flows out of that whole passage in Ephesians 1, where he talks about God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. And then he just kind of flows on to that in chapter 3. God loves us so much. Our joy in God reaches its fullness when we are given to meet the needs of others in ways of love. So that we find our greatest joy in helping others find their joy in Christ. Right? There is nothing that brings you more satisfaction and more peace and more joy than being able to share the good news of what God has done for us and serve others. It was a great Christmas dinner that we had. And the response of some of our community volunteers, they were just overwhelmed with the sense of joy and peace that they had in just being able to serve. And it really showed me how that dinner becomes a gateway for having people get involved in our church family. And how I was so glad that you as volunteers, you were wanting to be there and to be involved, but you took that step back to let other community members be involved. And just how many came and spoke to me afterwards about what a great day it was. And as a church, we actually received an email from somebody just overflowing in joy and how they want to be more involved in the church. You know, we find our greatest joy in bringing others joy. Isn't that right? We have this little baby right now. And it makes me smile to see her smile. Is that right? When a little baby smiles at you, can you not smile back? Isn't that funny? What has she done for you? All she did is say, I'm happy. And that makes us happy. And helping others find their joy in Christ will bring you a greater joy. All right. So in our marriages, our families, our work, our neighbors, giving the blessing we've received to others, but we can also be given to others in our death. How do you die? That when we die, what will others remember about us? Will their remembrance of us bring them joy or a cloud? being the person who is serving and giving will bring people joy. And they will be thankful when we've died and they remember us. So how are we going to spend this coming year? Our days are numbered. Here it is, last Sunday of the year. We've got to do the numbers, right? Well, Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. King James says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. NIV, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. And the New Century Version says, teach us how short our lives really are so that we may be wise. Another 365 have just gone past. It just seemed like we were here last week, right? Christmas is next week. Like it always seems like it. You know, the years are going by. The days and weeks are going by. And how are we using them for the kingdom? Well, for me, here I am. This is my 21,827th day. 542,000 hours. 31.5 million minutes. 1.9 billion seconds. Roughly. That's today. If I live to 70, then that will be 25,000 years. 25,000 days. That means I have 3,742 days to go. If I live to 80, then I have 7,384 days to go. My dad is now 91. He retired when he was 63. That means he's almost been retired 28 years. And for a lot of people, they're retiring earlier now. And so the question is, what do you do with those years of retirement? My wife and I are watching this series, The Crown. Anybody else watching that? The Crown. It's on Netflix. And there's an episode where the prince, the Duke of Windsor, in other words, the king that abdicated in order to marry a divorced actress out of the States, all right? He comes back and wants to get a job. Why does he want to do that? Because the beginning of the show, it just shows him living this life of leisure, dressing up to go to one party after another. And for him, it was just all empty. And eventually he says to his wife, this life of ease is killing me. No purpose. We live in a retirement town. And I think that there's a lot of retirees that come to that point. And they look at it and they go, I've done the travel. And I'm tired of that. I don't want to go back to work. I'm too tired for that. What now? And so this is where Christ is able to give purpose. He's able to give purpose in our lives. The news reminds us every day that there is no guarantee for tomorrow. Do we want to be mightily used by God? We are taken, we are blessed, we are broken, and we are given to serve. Are we living in light of the last 10 years of this life or the first 10 million of eternity? What or who are you giving your life to? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I pray that by your Spirit, you would teach us to number our days, that we would be wise, that you have called us to serve, you have empowered us to serve, you have equipped us to serve, and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives that will bring fulfillment and joy. And Father, maybe for some of us, we're halfway there. We're in a career that we love, that we find fulfilling. And are we using it to communicate your good news to others? Lord, I pray for each one who's here that you would give them your peace, that you would fill them with your joy, that you would strengthen them in their inner person by your power, so that you could live there by faith. And Lord, that we would be strengthened to be able to grasp how much you love us. May our lives be transformed by the fact that you love us so deeply and that you will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And we pray for your grace for each one who's here and for your power to be demonstrated in and through them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.